The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's marvelous, monumental, most fascinating, massively mind-bending Monday as we join our hearts and minds in one accord to draw closer to the King of Kings and glorify his name. First, what is the proper response to someone outside of the faith who does something extraordinary, does some kind of extraordinary act of grace towards us? It is the commitment, we're going to see this in Scripture, to petition God on their behalf. Who knows? You may be the prayer warrior that they need to meet Jesus. Next, like it or not, media or not, culture or not, God loves the Jewish people and the city of Jerusalem. It is a city selected by God to hold his honor. It is God's center on the earth. Wow. And finally, all the work we do by the grace of God. We live, we move, and we have our being in the Lord. So with joyful hearts, we dedicate everything we do to our King because our workmanship is his ownership.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Now you can email us, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. You can text us, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483, live during the show. You can also call us, 972-445-0770. When you make that phone call, 972-445-0770, terrific T, we'll answer the phone, and that's terrific. And what's the purpose of all that? Well, it's pretty simple. We want you to have that opportunity to share. We want you to be able to offer a praise report, to maybe ask in regards to a prayer request. Perhaps you just want to testify to something that the Lord has done or is working on in your life. Maybe you got something going on, you got a question, or you're just trying to, like, you know, bounce your thoughts off of other people just to make sure you're not losing it. I have to do that almost every day. I have to tell my wife about half the stuff that goes on in my brain so she can help me separate. I need help. Here's the bottom line. It can be for Bible trivia. What kind of Bible trivia? Well, let's just ask the first Bible trivia question. What boy or young lad ran into the Philistine camp to confront their best warrior? What young lad ran into the Philistine camp, obviously Old Testament, to confront their best warrior? If you think you know the answer to that, what can you do? Well, you can call us at 972-445-0770, or you can text us at 214-210-8483, or you can email us at david@hemustincrease.org. You can do all of that for this, because we want you to have that opportunity to engage so that we can strengthen one another and help one another as we see the day approaching. Any topic is basically open for conversation because it's not professional radio. I think I've proven that many times. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family. It's the David Spoon Experience, so you have to buckle up, little campers, in order to get through it. We do have somebody that's already responding, right? All right. So people are just on it today. On it today. Here we go. We'll get the phone. Here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Deborah.
Hi, Deborah. How are you? How was your weekend?
I'm good. I had a good weekend. How about you?
It was very nice. At the very end of the weekend, my wife knows I like this one kind of like homemade pizza. It's like English muffin and mozzarella on it. So she made me a bunch of them at the very end of the day. So
cool.
I was like, yes.
All right.
Yeah, I thought I was sort of like the lotto right there. Okay. Here we go. What young lad ran into the Philistine camp to confront their best warrior?
Was it King David?
It was King David. Now, it was before he was a king, but it was King David. That's who did it. And so for people that are like, hey, I want to get that reference, which is totally okie dokie, you got to go to 1 Samuel 17, and then you can look at verses 48 and 49. It's one of the great things about that passage that people miss is there's Goliath and there's David, and David ran towards Goliath, not walked hesitantly. He was confident that God was with him, and he was able to face it.
Yeah, that's really, really awesome.
Yeah, awesome. Great job, Deborah. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
God bless.
Okay, thank you. God bless you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Excellent. Okay. Cover that. Anything else we got to cover? No? We all right? We'll do the website later. The joke is only fair. It's not that it's bad. It's cute. All right, never mind. All right, so for those that don't know, we're in Ezra. I'm telling you right now, and this is really something fascinating. So I'll read through the text, and I've studied it, and just for those that are trying to figure out, well, what's going on with this show, good luck with that. In reality, I've read through the New Testament just an enormous amount of times in the Old Testament, many times, maybe 40 times in the Old Testament, and definitely over 150 in the New. And so I have all these Bibles. Many I've given away, but I still have these ones that are very, very precious to me that I've written notes and notes and notes. And so I'll go and review that. Then I'll review commentaries and review different structures and different, you know, pastors or teachers who've taught on it. And then I look at it and I think, well, what is it that I'm getting out of it? Because I think that's what a lot of us think. We read the scripture and go, okay, how do I use that? Not just how does it apply to the original audience, which we should do, but what's the context? How does that work? And how does it work for me drawing closer to the Lord? So this is what you're going to get out of this particular portion here in Ezra chapter 6. It says the following. This is, for those that don't know, this is when King Darius sent the message to make sure that everybody left Israel alone. Leave them alone. And let them build the temple, back off. And if you remember last week, we had talked about that there's a point that you go through a trial or you go through something that's difficult and the Lord goes, okay, that's enough. And that's what happened here for Israel. I just want to read the end of this message. There's two last points on this message that Darius wrote. I want to make sure to get that opportunity to share what he asked for. Towards the very end, he writes this. Give the priests working in Jerusalem whatever is needed in the way of young bulls, rams, lambs for the burnt offering presented to the God of heaven. And without fail, provide them with the wheat, salt, wine, and olive oil that they will need each day. Then they will be able to offer acceptable sacrifices to the God of heaven and pray for me and my sons. What I want you to get is King Darius goes through the records, finds out, hey, this is something that was ordered by a prior king. This is something that should be supported. I'm going to tell everybody, back off, support Israel. Don't create any problems. Let them rebuild the temple. And then he drops this line in at the end, in this almost to the end section. He goes, and pray for me and my sons. This is a Gentile king doing something great for the people of God. And in our lives, we have people who have done great things for us, who we all know, or you know, and I know, in our lives, they're not Christians. They're not believers. They've done us an act of kindness. They've done something cool for us. They've done something to support. They've done something to stand by us, whatever that case may be. And Darius, in the wisdom of a king, knowing that he's probably a little more distant than he needs to be because he's trying and he's following the unction of the Lord, but maybe not all the way there, he says, pray for me and for my kids. And I think that that practical approach in dealing with people that you engage with in Christian life, and they're not Christians, when they are kind to you in that capacity, I'm telling you, as a practical piece of advice, you ought to pray for them and their family. You ought to become their prayer warrior. It's highly unlikely that God just coincidentally brought them into your life. And in fact, because God's purposes are always fulfilled, according to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11, we understand that God brought them into your life for a reason. And you have a responsibility, and I have a responsibility, and we all have a responsibility for these people to be their prayer warriors for them and for their family. And you're thinking, well, Dave, there's a lot of people that are nice to me. And here's my response. Get to praying. It's not, there's no excuse there. There's no, we need to be the people that are their intercessors. We need to be interceding for them. And Darius is like, yeah, make sure you guys pray for me and pray for my kids. And it's like, you got it. And that wisdom is transferred to us as you read this passage. You go, hey, that's a good idea. We should look at this and say, when people bless us and we know they're not where they need to be, we should become their prayer champions. That's probably, at least to some degree, why the Lord brought them into our lives, that we can help them so they can make better connections with God through Jesus Christ and through the empowerment and leading of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that great? Do that. All right, we're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back. We got a whole other practicality section to go to. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Let me say something really important. I want to give a big crying send-off to my good friend for 7.5 years, Lefty. Lefty has today... Oh. I know, I'm so sad. Lefty has actually left the place of honor that's been with me for the last 7.5 years doing radio. Lefty was my one-eared headset, my headset that I would listen to. Yesterday, towards the end of the show, the circuitry in the very complex $19.95 multiple years ago headset decided it could no longer endure, and we had to put it to rest today. So now I have a much more expensive but really on sale from Amazon, so got it for a smoking deal headset. But it has two ears, so one of the ears is behind my head. And I haven't given this one a name yet. It's got like one ear, but it's like, I don't know. Yeah. But then we're going to say goodbye to Lefty. Bye, Lefty. Bye. All right. There you go. And if you can't shout sight, you'll have to face up. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. You know, that Lefty story reminds me of something that happened with Noel and I. I told this story a long time ago. I don't know where the clip is. I don't know if we have it anywhere. But so I've had a – you know how you have blankets, right? And so some of us have had blankets. Maybe you've had a blanket in your family for a long – maybe you've had a blanket for like 5 years, 10 years. I had this blanket for like 20 years. And I came home one day and Noelle was like, hey, you know that blanket? And I'm like, yeah, my blanket. And she said, yeah, I had to throw it out because it raveled and it came apart. It was like a little comforter. So then the rest of that day I called her Blanky Killer. She took my blanket and threw it out. It was my blanket. That wasn't very nice, was it? I was. So now I have this, you know, weird thing about things like that getting lost or being tossed. So, yeah, just put up with it. All right, here's the next trivia question. She threw out my blankie. What disciple outran Peter as Peter ran to Jesus' tomb? Most of you should get that right away. What disciple outran Peter as Peter was running to Jesus' tomb? If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. So this dude was definitely faster than Peter. And then also you can text in 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. While people are getting ready to prepare to answer that, I want to share what I would call an equally offensive denominational joke. Okay? All right. Ready? Got your buzzer? Ready? Ready? All right. There we go. There you go. You might be doing that. Might as well just get ready. So for those that don't know, ecumenical means like kind of throwing everything in one pot. It's like everybody everywhere. During an ecumenical assembly, a secretary rushed in shouting, "The building is on fire." Ooh, the building's on fire. The Methodists prayed in the corner. The Baptists wondered where they can find water. The Quakers quietly praised God for the blessing that fire brings. The Lutherans posted a notice on the door announcing the fire was evil. The Roman Catholics passed the plate to cover the cost of the damage. The Jewish people posted symbols on the door in hopes the fire would pass. The Congregationalists shouted, "Every man for himself." The Fundamentalists proclaimed, "It's the vengeance of God." The Episcopalians formed a procession and protested. The Christian Scientists denied there was a fire. The Presbyterians appointed a chairperson to form a committee to look into the matter and submit a written report. And the secretary grabbed the fire extinguisher and put the fire out. That's just like... Come on. It's like all these denominations do all their things. It's like, okay, here's a fire extinguisher. Put it – okay. I happen to like that one. It has its own cute charm. All right. Last somebody's going to get mad because I included Christian Scientists. No, I don't think they're Christians. I just thought it was funny in the joke, so just relax. What disciple outran Peter – as Peter was running to Jesus's tomb, if you know the answer, 972-445-0770. And then also, you can text in 214-210-8483. All right. All right. Getting back to the text. We good? Should we do the website? We didn't do the website. Let's do the website real quickly. That's the place where you can give. That's why I want you to know the website by heart. Go ahead. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email, David, at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right. Now, we just came off discussing how we should engage with people perhaps that are not saved or that are not fully understanding the gospel, that have done a kindness to us and so on and so forth. Now, I'm going to go into this last section of the letter that King Darius wrote. This is in Ezra 6. It's basically Ezra 6, verse 12, and it's really important to understand this. And a lot of people get offended by this, and the real answer to people who are offended by this is tough. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're offended by what God writes. God doesn't sit there and go, well, I hope it's not offensive. God doesn't care. God's not up there going, do you think that when I said this, and he doesn't turn to the angels and go, do you think when I wrote this or had this communicated that some people might have taken that wrong? God doesn't care about that. Are you serious? I mean, just look at Matthew 23. Jesus called them at least 12, if not 15, if not 18 names, starting with, you brood of vipers, you snakes, you hypocrites, you whitewashed walls. It's like, it don't work that way. The Lord's way is the way, and there is no other way, and that is it, right? God said it. That settles it, whether you agree with it or not. Here is what Ezra 6:12 says. May the God, this is from King Darius, closing it out. May the God who has chosen the city of Jerusalem as the place to honor his name, listen to this, destroy any king or nation that violates this command or tries to destroy the temple. I, Darius, have issued this decree. Let it be obeyed with all diligence. So Darius is the king, very powerful, by the way. This is a very, you got to understand this, the influence of these kings was a lot substantially different. When they said something, you know, it wasn't like negotiations and diplomats and discussions. This was like, if you don't do this, I'm going to send 1,000 horses in there and wipe you out, period. I mean, that was the whole of it. And Darius, a Gentile in the sense of not Jewish, not that that's negative, I'm just saying not a Gentile king, not Jewish, is like, Jerusalem, man, that's the place where the Lord has said, I like this place. This is my fave. And people that don't like it, they're going to have a hard time with it. And it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks, because God holds Jerusalem in great honor. In God's mind, Jerusalem is at the center of the earth. I mean, Israel is the center place, so to speak. People are like, but America is such a great nation. Jerusalem is God's favorite city, period. Yeah, I can tell you one thing. It certainly isn't Washington, D.C. It's like, you got to be kidding, right? Let's just look at some verses that verify this. Psalm 122, verse 6, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they be secure who love you. Zechariah 2:8, for thus says the Lord of hosts, after his glory sent me to the nations who plundered you, for whoever touches Jerusalem touches the apple of my eye. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 12, for the nation and the kingdom that will not serve you shall perish. Those nations shall be utterly laid waste, referring to honoring Israel. Numbers 24:9, he crouched and lay down like a lion, like a lioness. Who will rouse him? Blessed are those who bless you, and cursed are those who curse you. When Paul recorded in Romans 15:27, that the Gentiles are shared in with the Jews in their spiritual things, they're indebted to minister to them also in material things. That might not be a good reference. Luke 7:5, for he loved our, this is when they're talking about this guy who did this wonderful thing. We're just talking about this. Here's a guy, did a wonderful thing for Israel, wonderful thing for Jerusalem. And so they're asking Jesus to help out because he's such a great guy. He loves our nation. He helped us build a synagogue. That's the message. The Gentile deserves to be blessed by God because he loves the nation and did something wonderful to bless the Jewish people. The reason that I bring all these verses up is for you and I to get a better handle on when people start dissing on Israel. That's, but you know what? I mean, that's going to be something between the Lord and them. It's a bad call. As Christians, we don't do that. As Jewish people, we don't do that. As Jewish Christians, which I just found out the other day that we are one of the lowest minorities in all of America. There's only 1 million people that are Jewish that believe in Jesus in America. It's like, really? I didn't even know that. Just found that out the other day. Here's the bottom line. God has chosen the city of Jerusalem as a place to honor his name, and he will destroy people that try to take that away. And you think, well, but there's a lot of bad things that happen there. Sure are. There's a lot of bad things that happen in every city in the world. But then in many of these cities, there's a lot of wonderful people who love God and a lot of people whose hearts are towards him. And he makes his selection, and you don't get to say to God, you're wrong, because it doesn't matter. So Darius is saying, look, you guys got to be, you got to be aware. You got to be careful here. This is a place that God has chosen to glorify his name and honor his name. Now, does that give right for everybody in Israel to do wrong things? Of course not. No more than it gives the church the right to do wrong things. And I say this a lot, and people, I know people don't like it, but I'm not trying to be an irritant. I just do it naturally. You know, the church has got, it's a mess. The church has got a lot of messy stuff in it, and it does a lot of stuff wrong. But the church also does a lot of stuff right, and it does a lot of good things. And just keep in mind that every time you're talking about the church, you are talking about that which is God's property. So when we diss the church, you do know you're dissing God. Okay? It's one thing to sit there and say, this is a lousy church, and I'm not going to attend it. And, you know, so it's another thing to make a blanket statement about the entire church of God and say, oh, a bunch of phonies, oh, a bunch of this, a bunch of this. You're just doing that to the Lord. And if you're not sure about that, just look at Acts, where Paul is persecuting the church, and Jesus comes down and knocks him on his keister and then blinds him and says, you're persecuting me. And it's like, Paul's like, who are you? He goes, I'm Jesus. And who was Paul persecuting? The church. I'm like, uh-oh. So the way that God looks at that is a lot different than maybe the way that some of us look at that. I think the encouragement here is to recognize that what God blesses, we should be blessing. And what God doesn't bless, we should not be blessing. We should do one thing that's really wise. Get on God's page. Right? Okay, who was the disciple that outran Peter to Jesus' tomb? That was our good friend Johnny. John, the Gospel of John. Remember, John outran Peter, just for those who do not know. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
All of mankind, destroying everyone and everything we find.
Who is David Spoon? I have no idea. People have asked me about the David Spoon Experience. They wanted to know what I thought of him. Like any person searching for answers, I have wondered about him. He was born and raised Jewish, and after intense drug use, became a Christian. He's married to his best friend Noel, has 3 children, 6 grandchildren, plus 2 dogs named Levi and Bert. He has 3 separate ordinations from 3 different denominations and is a summa cum laude for his BA degree in ministry and leadership, as well as a master's degree of theological studies, and is involved in a PhD program. He has a weird sense of humor and talks a lot. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. And those big ears really don't help him. But would they enjoy his perspective on life, culture, politics, food, sports, local and national news? I don't know. I guess people will have to listen to find out.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email, david@hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. There you go. So check it out. There is, I put something new up there, and now I can't even remember what it is. I don't know. You've been getting older. I don't know. All I know is I worked out today, and I was telling T, it was terrible. You know, you work out, and then you come back, and you're supposed to feel good or whatever. That didn't happen. Just so you can know. I think the people in the gym were worried that I was going to keel over. It's like, oh, what's wrong with that guy?
It's incredible, and it's never been done before. And you can be the first person in your neighborhood to win.
What is it?
It's a contest.
How do I play?
It's simple, and there's 3 ways to win. You can go to Facebook, type in David Spoon Media, and on any Facebook post, type in the word Jesus in the comment section, and it's free. You can also send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com and write the word Jesus in the subject line. Or you can go to YouTube and give a comment on any video, but you have to use the word Jesus. This is your chance to win, and it's free.
What do I win?
You can win 100 thank yous right on air. It's incredible. It's unbelievable, but it's only for a limited time. Enter now. Here's a taste. Thank you for listening to the David Spoon Experience.
If Jesus. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Let's get ready for our next trivia question. A little tougher. You know how we do that? We kind of increase in the toughness a little bit, little bit, little bit. What short man, it should have been which short man, but what short man ran to see Jesus but could not because of his height? This person ran to see Jesus, but he couldn't see Jesus because of his height. And the only thing I can really give you on this one, because otherwise it'll give you too much, is it's in the Gospel of Luke. Okay? What guy, what short guy ran to see Jesus but could not because of his height? If you think you know the answer, you can call 972-445-0770, or you can text 214-210-8483 or send an email to david@hemustincrease.org. This is a short guy in the New Testament in the Gospel of Luke. Should I give the chapter? That's a tough one, right? That is tough, isn't it? I will tell you it is, where'd he go? Luke chapter 19. Okay, so that'll be your one and only opportunity. Let's do some history in the meantime. Let's have our history song.
Let's go live.
All right, before we do history, somebody is calling in to answer. I think they're calling in to answer the trivia. Yep, okay, so we're going to wait, then do that. Then we'll do the history, then we'll do the teaching. Ready? Here we go. Leaning. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, guys. This is John.
Hi, John. How are you?
Hi, man. I'm here. It's hot.
It's better being there than not being there, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Somebody that the other day, and I thought, you know what? I think I'd rather be in heaven. So, yep. But anyway, I'm going to take a shot at your question.
Okay. All right. What short man ran to see Jesus but could not because of his height?
Was it Jairus?
No. It starts with a Z.
Oh, man.
Zacchaeus, remember that guy? It was the tax guy. He was a short guy.
Yes.
Then he ran up to the tree and he was like, I'm over here. And then Jesus goes, I'm staying at your house, dude. I'm going over to you. But that was a good, you know what? That was a worthwhile call and guess. I thought you did good there. That was really a good job because that's a tough one.
Good job, buddy.
Yeah.
And the young lady that answered the phone. She is nothing but a wonderful lady.
That's awesome.
See you later, buddy.
All right, take care. God bless. I guess
God bless you.
I guess you'll be sending John a check later on today. Right? That was very nice.
Hope he knows. Don't cash it.
The only thing better than the yo-yo is my check that goes up and down. I understand that. Okay, here we go. All right. Yes, you can laugh and have fun. We got to do our – let's do the sound again because we kind of lost it. Here's our sound for our history real quickly.
Let's go live it in the past. Let's go live it in the past.
Right. By the way, I want to give a shout-out to John for doing that. At least he tried call. I mean, that's – it takes – you know, you're like, I'm not sure. Okay, good job. All right, today is Go Skateboarding Day. I don't know. I mean, I had a skateboard. I was terrible at it. Were you any good at a skateboard?
I don't even have balance to ride a bike. I barely think I can do a skateboard.
The only thing we did that was crazy, I'm going to say that, okay, is we would in Flagstaff, we had a sled, and we would attach it to a car when it was icy on the road, and the car would drive around, and we would, you know, it's one of those things. Today is also National Seashell Day. I don't know. And it's good if you're at the beach, but I mean, that's Florida, California. I mean, it's parts of Texas, I guess. Is there a part of that? No, because we're up against, but there's parts that are close. It doesn't matter. I don't have any seashells anyway. National Selfie Day. The only thing I think that's funny about that is some of the places that people have taken selfies. I mean, there was one guy who went by a grizzly bear to take a selfie. That didn't work out very good, okay? That person should not be taking a selfie. That person should not have a phone. That person should be helped wherever they go. It's also Talk to Your Cat Day. Do cats talk back? Do you have a cat?
I wish. I wonder what they would say.
What would they say? I think they'd go, "Get out of here, kid. You bother me." If you look at this, because they're so, you know, that way. All right, this is the only other thing, and then we'll let it go. On this day in 1967, the computer mouse. You want to talk about somebody that made money. The computer mouse was patented. The patent was filed by Douglas Engelbart. For the first computer mouse, and it was awarded in 1970. Now, just think that there's over 1 billion mouses for computers now. It's like, wow, that's amazing. All right, that's done. Let's get into this next section. This is something you guys should appreciate. I hope you will. In the temple dedication, this is Ezra chapter 6, picking up in verse 13. The governor of the province went to the Euphrates River with their colleagues, and they complied with all the commands of King Darius. So the Jewish leaders continued their work. Now watch this. Here it is. And they were greatly encouraged by the preaching of the prophets, Haggai and Zechariah. I want to say something about this because a lot of people, unfortunately, think that the preaching is only good when it's done by prophets. I got a message for you about church that you should listen to. I know in the academic society, in fact, I know it all too well, they have a real negative attitude about people that preach because they think it's unrefined speech and it's an unfortunate way of communication. Those are the people that lift their pinky whenever they drink tea. Here's the bottom line. A good preaching message can fire you up. And you know what we need in our spiritual warfare? You know what we need in our times of downwardness is a good old-fashioned preaching, encourage them kind of message. Now, I have nothing against teaching in the academic way, and Jesus would certainly came off a lot less fiery than John the Baptist. And there is the right place and time for these things. But remember, John the Baptist was a prophet well-received and acknowledged by Jesus, and Jesus liked him. And my point in bringing that out is the academics who think that preaching is just a barbaric form of communication don't understand that it's the preaching of the gospel that brings life to people. They should read 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and 2, and they'd probably find out that they're not as smart as they think they are. Here's the bottom line. A good preaching message can fire you up. And I'm not just talking about fiery preachers, but I mean a really good message can be so encouraging. I have gone to church. I don't know if you've done this or not. I've gone to church like when I go to Stillwater Community Church, and Kurt has come out, and I'm working on my own planet, right? Thinking about my own things. And Pastor Kurt comes out and preaches a message. And I mentioned this to you guys before. And he had everybody grab a rubber band. And then he has the rubber band. He goes, "Isn't this rubber band cool? This is us." And then he's talking about the trials that we go through. And he stretches the rubber band. And then he stretches the rubber band. Then we go through and he stretches the rubber band. And he was like, "This is what the Lord does to us. He stretches us like a rubber band." Like, that is genius. That preaching, I came that next day on Monday and shared what he taught because it was inspirational. And teachings and preachings like this that come from men and even not just men but women in the capacity of sharing a message that is something that draws you close to the Lord, that is gold. And what I'm trying to say to you is preaching is fantastic. And don't be one of those, what's the word I'm looking for? Snooty people, like you're from a foreign country and you're just too good because everybody else is beneath you kind of people. Preaching is great. I don't care if they're a young preacher or old preacher. I love it.
I love being encouraged that way and fired up that way. It's fantastic. Why should it not be something that we engage with? And we should love it. It brings encouragement. This is all to say your leaders may not be, what are they not? They may not be Haggai. They might not be Zechariah. But you need to be praying that the Lord will just pour it on those teachers and preachers that you have in your life, because that will only bless you. It will only help you draw closer to the Lord. Now, one thing I will share with you. I'm going to be really careful on how I do this, but I'm going to be honest with you. One of the hardest things about being a preacher slash teacher slash encourager is you pour your heart into a message and you share that message and you don't get any feedback. Like, nobody comes up and says, "That was great. Oh, what a blessing," right? It's one of the hardest, no matter what you say to me, it's one of the hardest things that ministers go through. So I'm going to give you a small assignment, but only do it if it's true. Only be authentic. The next time your preacher, your teacher, your Bible thumper comes and gives something really that moves you, before you leave, before you dart for the door, before you dart to talk to your friends, get in the little line that says, "Preacher, that was a blessing." Because that blessing will encourage more activity towards the Lord for that preacher. Please. I'm asking you. I'm not begging, I'm asking. Be the kind of person that encourages the encourager. That helps everybody. Okay? All right. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Taking a short break, then we'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, "Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men." Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, David. This is John.
Hi, John. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you. And you?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm actually having a wonderful day. And, you know, every once in a while you get some extra time in with the Lord and you just think, man, I can't wait to hear that trumpet. I just can't wait.
Right. What's going on? Huh? Yep. You want to know the answer to that,
I
guess,
do.
Huh?
I do. And so this is a good one. How many times did the boy who Elisha raised from the dead, how many times did he sneeze?
7.
That is correct, sir. You are right. A little unknown fact from a lot of people that they might not be aware of is that actually he, so after Elisha stretched himself out, the child sneezed 7 times. And then the child opened his eyes, which means that he sneezed those 7 times without his eyes open. Which is like, wow, that's bizarre. It's like, how do you do that?
I just thought about it that way.
Yeah, it's like, how would you do, I mean, how do you, I mean, my eyes go in the back of my head when I sneeze. I just don't know how that happened.
Didn't he lie prostrate across
him?
Yes,
correct. That is exactly what he did.
I thought, okay, if he was sneezing, was he sneezing in Elijah's face?
That's an excellent question. I do not have that answer, but you have
we'll
to
have
sit
to
there
wait
and wonder.
To find that one out, huh?
Yeah, I mean, the prophets went through a lot, although it it could be a tough one. Excellent job, my friend. Excellent answer. Thank you.
Good to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you as well.
All right.
God bless.
Bye-bye.
Right. We roll. That's a great question that he sneezed in his face. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. We are ready for our last trivia question. It's not that it's difficult, but you have to, what's the word I want to use? You have to use your thinking cap. Okay. I think that's a nice way to say you got to use your brain, right? You got to use your thinking cap. You got to use your brain. I mean, I think that. According to Isaiah, so you already know who we're talking about. According to Isaiah, what sort of people can run and not be weary? According to Isaiah, what kind of people can run and not be weary? See, that's a kind of an interesting question. Your answer, by the way, is in Isaiah 40. That's what I'm going to just kind of leave there. Isaiah 40. What kind of people can run and not be weary? If you know that answer, you can either call in at 972-445-0770, or you can text in at 214-210-8483. You can do that either way. Already got the answers coming in. People doing a great job. You guys are great. That makes it easy. It makes it easier for me anyway. All right, we have a Greek word that we're going to do. So let's do our Greek word, and we'll go from there. Okay. I always think we should say, like, baklava. I don't know what it is. You got to help me out there. All right. This is from John chapter 18. We're going to do verse 35, 36. I'm going to pull out the word from there. Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world." The Greek word for world, cosmos. Okay? Not Seinfeld. Cosmos. Remember cosmos? Ever heard of cosmic or cosmopolitan? Ooh, that's a good one. Cosmopolitan, that actually means world. That magazine all probably means worldly. Originally, cosmos was orderly arrangement, decor, adorning, beautiful, symmetry, the regularity of the world order, and then it later focused on the earth and the secular world. Often in the New Testament, the word describes a world system. Remember that we talked about the difference between loving the world and the world system, the people of the world and the system of the world. Now in the New Testament, you see it talks about the world system. So that's what cosmos is. That's the word world. Okay, for those that are calling in, we can't get the phone just quite yet because T needed to step out for a split second. So just do me a favor, if you're calling in, just hold on, and then you can just kind of like call back because that's the only way to do that. All right, and then again, I'm going to read the question just for those who are texting in. According to Isaiah, what sort of people can run and not be weary? And this is out of Isaiah chapter 40. And again, if you're calling in, I just need you to wait just an extra second or two, and then T will be back to get the phone. In the meantime, and I'll let you know when she's back. In the meantime, I want to just do this last portion on this text. So I'm just loving where this stuff is going. You guys are, I hope you like it because I'm loving it. I'm having fun no matter what. Okay. This is Ezra chapter 6. Let's see. Is this just before chapter 7, right? Yep. So here's what it says in chapter 6, and we're looking at basically verse 15, and I want to point this out to you because it's superbly important. The temple was completed on March 12th during the sixth year of King Darius's reign. The temple of God was then dedicated with great joy by the people of Israel, the priests and the Levites, and the rest of the people who had returned from exile. Okay? All right. This is huge, hugely important. The temple of God was then dedicated with great joy by the people of Israel, the priests and the Levites, and the rest of the people who returned from exile. God gives you the ability to accomplish many things. In our society, sometimes that creates a value system by what you can accomplish. Okay, everybody will acknowledge that. It's not something weird. But in the economy of God, when you accomplish something through the help of God or without you even knowing it's the help of God since he gave you breath, whatever it is you do, whatever works you accomplish, whatever workmanship you create, be it some kind of creation for work or human creation like your children or anything at all, the only reason you were able to do it is because God gave you the gift of life and the gift of breath and the ability to do it. In other words, people that say, well, I did it myself. It's all my own sweat and blood. It's all my own hands. Yeah? Who gave you those hands? Who made your body so it could sweat? Who put that blood in your system that you could have breath and life? By golly, it was the Lord. And whatever it is that we do, whatever we finish, whatever we accomplish, whatever that is, it must be acknowledged and dedicated to the Lord. It's not that you didn't put into it, but you never would have had a chance to do it without the Lord's help. So the temple of the Lord was dedicated with great joy. The people built the temple. The Lord helped them in their circumstance. They prevailed. And they committed it to the Lord. You have children. You have things you've accomplished. You have things you've built. You have records that you've accomplished, different things that you've done. You must recognize that that should be dedicated to the Lord, not a badge for your glory, but an honor unto the Lord. Okay, I'm going to give you a really good example in just a second. But again, we'll go back to that trivia question just real quickly. According to Isaiah, what sort of people can run and not be weary? If you know that answer, you reach out to us on our phone number, which is 972-445-0770. You can call in now if you want to. But I want you to catch this. I've been going to school forever. No, okay, not forever. Okay, it feels like forever. And the Lord knows the kind of person I am, the good and the bad, okay, which is a lot of both, I think, most of the time. So I've had a very, very, very good academic record. It is not because of me, because before I became a Christian, I burnt out so many brain cells. With all of the drugs that I did, it was amazing that I ever got a GED, let alone then go into college and do anything else. I was superbly one of the worst kids in school academically my entire life. And then I became a Christian, and the Lord worked in my life. And now I'm two classes away from having about 200 credits with an A and one credit with an A minus, okay? So just like my point, yes, that always will irritate me. So my point is only God should get the true glory. Because when I, before the Lord came into my life, when I was doing stuff, I was as dumb, even dumber than a rock. But God help me. And everything you do, God helps you in. So you take that and you say, this is yours first. Whatever it is, it's yours first. You made me a steward of it. You let me accomplish it. Whatever you want to do with it, you own it first. That's dedicating something to the Lord. It's yours, and I abide by that no matter what. That's called dedication to the Lord. So the Lord helped them build this temple. They did a lot of work. They were a part of it, but God gave them that victory, and they dedicated it with great joy, knowing this, and this is why we should be dedicating it with great joy, that it was a partnership between the people and between their God. And that's just awesome. And God has done many things in your life that are a partnership that you've worked together with him in. But you never would have gotten there if God didn't partner with you. Now, don't misunderstand. God could have done it without you. It's that you and I can't do it without him. So we dedicated to him. We devoted. Could be your career. Could be anything in your relationship. Whatever. The victories and the graces and the accomplishments are shared. When they're not shared, it's pride. And pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Don't have that pride. Have that humility that says, because of you. Because of you. Every breath inside you. Because of you, Lord. Because of you. Isn't that just, I just love stuff like that. God is, it's so much fun to partner with God. All right, the trivia question. According to Isaiah, what sort of people can run and not be weary? It is of Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. It's they that wait upon the Lord, which is amazing because they that wait upon the Lord have to exercise one fruit in particular. They that wait upon the Lord need to exercise patience. Everybody loves patience, right? No. And isn't that amazing that you got patience, love, joy, and peace, and the fourth fruit of the Holy Spirit is patience. And if we will have patience and wait upon the Lord, which is an eager expectation, if we have that, then we can run and not get weary. Okay? All right. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas, taking a 22.5-hour break. Then we'll be back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Just as I am, you reach down and see me.
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.